Welcome to the Voice of Power broadcast with Gary Atkins, pastor of Willing Vessels Christian Center in King, North Carolina. In a postmodern culture, Pastor Atkins preaches an old-fashioned message under a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, pointing men and women to the truth of Scripture and freedom found in Jesus Christ. Pastor Atkins believes the body of Christ has a voice, and when we declare Jesus is Lord, we have a voice of power. Here's a recent message from the Tabernacle of Willing Vessels Christian Center.
All right, look at Jeremiah 32, verse 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord. That's enough right there, isn't it? The God of all flesh. Now, that's a powerful statement. What God is saying there is, I'm in control of it all. Presidents, kings, princes, I'm in control. And that's what he's saying. He's the God of all flesh. This is what I want you to underline. This is my message. Is there anything too hard for me? God's asking that question. Is there anything too hard for me? Look at chapter 33 and verse 3, one chapter over. What does he say? Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, I don't know about you, but I would like to see things I've never seen before. I would like for God to reveal his power in such a way that I have never seen it before. An outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the power of Almighty God in our midst. I want testimonies like Sister Brown, who was healed from COVID, coming off of the ventilator. I want that to be commonplace, and I want that to be normal, you see. In fact, in the New Testament days, that was normal, right? It was normal to see somebody raised up and healed by God's power. It was normal to see the devil cast out of someone. It was normal to see someone's life changed drastically. And today it's abnormal. What's happened? Well, I want to share it with you. Look at chapter 32 again, and look at verse 28. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, or the Babylonians, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. Now, at this point in history, we have a wicked king, number one, in Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who are storming through the countryside of the area of Jerusalem and Israel, taking captive one nation after the other. They come to Jerusalem, and at this point, Jeremiah is prophesying in this text, Babylon is surrounding the city. They are getting ready to lay siege and take it captive. This was about 586 BC. Jeremiah was an interesting prophet. If you've ever read Jeremiah, he prophesied for 40 years. He prophesied the doom of judgment. And he said, if you do not repent, judgment will come. And do you know what? It did. In fact, God told him it would happen, and that for 70 years they would be held captive by wicked Babylon. But God called Jeremiah from his mother's womb, ordained him to be a prophet to the nations. Listen to me this morning. And he told Jeremiah, you're going to prophesy and preach for 40 years, but no one will ever answer your invitation for an altar call. Now, what if he told a bunch of preachers that? I'm calling you to preach, but nobody's ever going to get saved. Nobody's ever going to repent. But I want you to do it anyway. And I want you to smile while you're doing it. That's what he told him. In fact, he told Jeremiah to put a yoke around his neck, symbolic of how Babylon would be yoked upon the nation of Israel and Judah and would take them captive. He told him to buy a field in this chapter. Buy a field in Jerusalem that Babylon is getting ready to come and siege. And of course he's thinking, why? They're getting ready to take the land. They're getting ready to take captive the people of God. They might set fire to this land that I've purchased in my hometown. But God told him to do it. And here's why. Because God had a promise. Continue to read with me. Verse 29. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the houses. And they did. Upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal. And poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. So God has been provoked to anger. A nation that he blessed. A nation that he chose, that he favored. They began to serve other gods. The god of Baal. He was the fertility god of the Canaanites. And they would worship Baal with fornication, lasciviousness, sexual immorality. Now, I want to tell you something. If that doesn't express and reflect America, I don't know what does. In fact, Romans chapter 1 tells us that eventually, if you continue with fornication and lasciviousness, that it will lead to men burning for men, women burning for women, and then eventually he would just hand them over to a reprobate mind. Well, if you think about our nation in the 60s and 70s, you had the sexual revolution, right? It was love and peace and freedom and all of this in the name of sexual immorality. Then in the 80s and 90s, you had homosexuality, lesbianism, AIDS increased by a high percentage because of that. And now you not only have that as the normality in America, but now you have men wanting to be women, women wanting to be men because they're confused in their gender. Why? Because they've been handed over to a reprobate mind. This nation has been handed over to that, you see. We have been handed over. That's what was happening to Jerusalem, to Judah. Listen to me. They were worshiping Baal. They were worshiping Baal. And it provoked the anger of God. Read with me. Verse 31. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face. God's angry here. God gets angry. He's a merciful God. He's a gracious God. But the Bible still says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of a living God. Do you hear me this morning? Not only as individuals, but also as a nation. It's a fearful thing to abandon the book, to abandon God. I could go through a plethora of lists of what America has done. Removing the Bible from schools. When you remove the Bible, you had to get metal detectors. Taking the Ten Commandments out of courthouses. And we wonder why they're breaking the law. Abortion. 60-some million since Roe versus Wade in the 70s. Legalizing same-sex marriage, 2015. Across the nation. The highest court in our land says it's okay. And we don't think God is not angry with what this country has done. But not only is he angry with sin, he's also angry with the church. And let me show you. Look at verse 32. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they... Now read with me. He doesn't leave anybody out. He doesn't blame it on the priests. He doesn't blame it on the king, the president. He doesn't blame it on political leadership. Who does he blame it on? Let's read. Their kings, their princes, their priests, their prophets, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Guess who that is? That's everybody. And the majority of that are priests unto the Lord, preachers, churches, God's people. What have we done with all the things that are going on? Well, we've been silent. We haven't said anything. Where's the church protesting? Where's the church lifting up the banner of holiness and saying, we're not going to live under this demonic influence that's invading our society? We've set back. The church has become comfortable with luxury and life. That's right. And that is a sin, ladies and gentlemen. It is a sin to sit back, get lazy, and do nothing. That is a sin. Are you hearing what I'm saying? To be comfortable, my four and no more, to be comfortable like that and be part of the body of Christ is a sin. And God is angry about it. Because notice verse 33, and they have turned unto me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. He is talking to his people right there. I've taught them. I've given them my word. They have my commandments. I've told parents to teach their children the law of God. I've told the priests to be holy and sanctified to do the work of the Lord. But they chose idolatry, Baal worship, the lust of the flesh over me. And because of that, judgment was there. It wasn't coming. It was there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then during election time, the church finally raises a voice because we see the impending judgment that could come upon us. Verse 34. But they set their abominations in the house. Where? The house of God. Where do they perform their abominations? The temple. God's house. That's where they do it. And I'm not convinced that we haven't been doing that as a church, as a body of believers. When I turn around during praise and worship and hymn singing and all this, and I see people standing there like this, do you think God's pleased with that? Do you want to see a move of God? Do you want to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit? Well, let me remind you, it's not singer's fault. It's not my fault. It's definitely not God's fault. It's your fault. Because what you put into something is what you're going to get out. It is spiritual immaturity to stand there and say, God, touch me, then I'll praise you. Let me tell you what a Christian does. They praise and magnify God. I did not feel like being here this morning. But when I got here, I made up my mind. I'm going to lift my hands, raise my voice, and magnify an almighty, all-sufficient, awesome God because he's worthy. And because I want to see revival. And if I know if you want to see revival, you've got to put something into it. You have to put forth some effort. I don't care if you don't like the song, if you don't know the song, make up something and magnify God. Raise your hands and give him praise. Because if you don't, it will be the same old, same old. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to call unto God and he will answer us and show us great and mighty things which we know not. And he can do it in a time in which we live right now. You believe it? Shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
Oh, I believe it. Look with me. They defiled the house, verse 34. Verse 35. And they built the high places of Baal. Here we go again. What's the high places of Baal? How about Facebook? How about Twitter? Think about it. They silence Christianity. They silence American values. Do you know that? But yet you want to spend most of your time supporting it. That's idolatry. That's Baal worship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you find yourself lusting after somebody else's life. Oh, that picture looks nice. I wish we were that happy. That's lust. That's Baal worship. That's idolatry. And this country has taken it hook, line, and sinker. Verse 35, high places of Baal, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech. Now, do you want me to preach this morning? Because I will. Now, Molech was a brass god who would sit there with his hands out like this and his belly was empty with fire, and they would offer their babies as a sacrifice to this thing called Molech. And we've done it to over 60 million babies in this country. And we say it's okay. And we've got people running for the highest office in the land that say it's a woman's choice to worship the God of Molech in America. And they were doing it in Judah. They were doing it in Israel. And God was angry about it. I don't want to just see it stop. I want to see Roe versus Wade overturned, see? That's what I want to see. That's true repentance. True repentance is not just stopping. It's having a change of mind of how you look at it and how you view the thing. See? I think we've got an opportunity as the church, the body of Christ. I think we had an opportunity in 2016. We've blown it. We've blown it. And I pray God gives us another chance. We blew it last 4 years, folks. We have blown it as the body of Christ. We laid back, got relaxed. Thank God. Great country, great leadership. The Bible sparking once again. Christianity's on a rise. No. You had the opportunity. And I pray we get it again. Let's read. Which I commanded them not, neither came it unto my mind, that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. I want you to see in the text how. Now, do you think everybody did this? No. But look how individual sin turns into national sin. How God judges a nation. Oh, God. Even if there's good individuals within that nation. But why? Why are we seeing this today? Because you and I, if you're watching, the body of Christ has been silent. And we've sat back. We've asked God to bless us and to help us and to help me. And we've forgotten about a lost, hurting, and dying world. Are you hearing what I'm preaching? What must we do? Well, let's read. Verse 36. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, whereof you say it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, violence. We've seen it in our streets, haven't we? By famine. We've had spiritual famine in this land for years. And by, shout it. Pestilence. Disease. Why? Worshipping Baal. Worshipping Molech. Idolatry. And the people of God were okay with it. To the point that they brought it into the house. Now, I don't want to get on a soapbox about other churches. I do it all the time, I know. But I'm telling you, it drives me crazy. When I see churches, bringing idolatrous worship into their sanctuaries. And they don't even see the deception. The manipulation with lighting. The manipulation of certain types of music. I want you to hear me this morning. I saw one church having kegs at the Father's Day cookout. That's happening in this community. And people embrace it. Because they're not legalistic. They're not old-fashioned. You know. They're progressive. They've got a certain model. And they want to grow a church. And they just want people to show up, sign a card, and pay their tithe. I want to tell you something. That is the worship of Baal. And it's in the house of God. And I'm telling you, this church, which I'm responsible for, and responsible to you, I will do everything I can to make sure we do not worship Baal in any form or fashion. And I'll stand here and boldly declare that I believe abortion is the sin of worship to Molech. I declare that today. And I'll tell you another thing. I declare with my whole heart that same-sex marriage. Somebody explain to me how you don't have a choice of whether you're homosexual or lesbian, but you can make a choice on your gender. How upside down is that? A reprobate mind. But here's the hope. I don't want to dwell on that. Verse 37. This is where it turns around for Judah. This is where it turns around for Jeremiah. Ask yourself the question, is anything too hard for God? I want you to think about your life. Maybe you've spun into to immorality, fornication, and maybe it's a secret. I don't know. Maybe you're secretly worshiping Baal. Maybe you're secretly lusting after other people on Facebook, wanting their family and their money and their all of this and that. Maybe that's you, and you've fallen into that. And let me guess, you're anxious. You're depressed. You know why? Because you pay more attention to that than you do the worship of Almighty God. Listen to me this morning. I'm giving you the prescription for happiness. I'm giving you the prescription for joy. And that is, lift up your voices and shout with a voice of triumph, because you are the people of God, and become a living sacrifice one more time. Oh boy. I'll tell you, it's the truth. All right. Here we go. We're getting ready to take a different road. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries. Verse 37. Oh, I feel the Spirit of the Lord. Even today, he's taking Jews from all over Europe, bringing them back to the homeland of Jerusalem. Israel is the size of New Jersey. Listen to me, the size of New Jersey. We call it the armpit of America, and that's the size of Israel. But I want to tell you something. There's no country more powerful. There's no country more ready to receive a battle than the nation of Israel. You know why? Because God said to Jeremiah, I will bring them back to this land. Hear me today. Whether I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury, and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. This is the promise of God. This will ultimately be fulfilled after the tribulation period during the millennial kingdom, when Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning in Jerusalem. Listen to me. Oh, hallelujah. And there will be peace where he's drawn the Israelites and the Jewish people. But you have to think about God's word. Think about prophecy. What does that mean to you and I? Do you realize we are the Israel of God? That there's not a distinction of Jew and Gentile in individuals, maybe nationally, but not individuals. We are the Israel of God. We are part of God's family. We are the seed of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. And also understand that not only was God talking about the future, he was also talking about the immediate future. Because 70 years later, they would go back to Jerusalem. Nehemiah would rebuild the walls in 52 days. Ezra would rebuild the temple and institute temple worship again. It would all happen about 400 years before Christ came into the world, and they began going back to their country. What does that mean for you and I? Well, the judgment that we're seeing from God, the anger of God upon this country, we have a hope that it can be reversed if we call upon the name of the Lord. Not only can he return his glory back to the house of God and to America, but he can bring it back to your house and back to your life. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Verse 39. And I will give them one heart and one way. That message extends from the day of Jeremiah to today. And I want to tell you that we must, not just preachers and not just pulpiteers and evangelists, but you on your job, wherever you go, to your family, boldly declare that there is one way, and his name is Jesus Christ, that the answer is Jesus, the answer is Jesus, the answer. Oh, shout it, is Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. One way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. Verse 40, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them and do them good, but I will put my fear in their heart, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in the land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, get this verse, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. Do we have hope? Is anything too hard for God? Can he change America? Oh God, can he change our families? Can he change the church? Oh yes, he can. Yes, he can. But Go with me, Ecclesiastes 7. I'm going to close with this. I've got so much this morning. Ecclesiastes 7. And I'll close with this, I assure you. Verse 13. Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? How can you change his plan? How can you change what he has sovereignly predetermined to do? How can we change what I believe is anger and judgment from a holy God to a nation? Now, some disagree with me, but I believe with all my heart. I know what he gave me in Jeremiah. How can we change that? How? Let's read. Verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other to the end that man should not find nothing after him. What is he saying there? You're going to have days of prosperity and blessing. You're going to have days of adversity. Verse 15. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness. And there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. In other words, he's seen the good die young. And he's seen wicked, evil people live long and prosper. How can we figure that out? We can't. They've made songs about it. Only the good die young. Where do you think they get it from? Verse 16. Be not righteous over much. Neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? In other words, never think that your righteousness and your holiness has anything to do with what you do. You came to church, big deal. He took a cross all the way up Via Della Rosa, hung upon Golgotha's heel, and you think you did a favor for God by being here? Absolutely not. You owe him your presence. You owe him your life, you see. Never have that type of mentality that you're doing me a favor or God a favor. You owe him. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you hear me this morning. Look at verse 17. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why should you die before your time? My point is, I don't believe the church has to die before its time. I don't believe it. Last verse, 18. It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yes, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Another translation says, the man who fears God will avoid all extremes. Everybody shout balance. That's what we need. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not.
Amen. I'm so glad that you've decided to listen to the Voice of Power broadcast, and we pray that it has been a blessing to you. If so, we would encourage you to consider giving a financial donation to help the Voice of Power stay on the air. You can give in three ways. The simplest way to give would be through text message by simply texting a dollar amount to 336-747-3336 and following the instructions. And also you can go to the website at voiceofpower.org and click on the give link, and it will take you step by step on how to give financially to the Voice of Power. And thirdly, you can give by mail, P.O. Box 2439, King, North Carolina, 27021. And once again, we're delighted that you've decided to listen to the Voice of Power broadcast and tune in next week at the same time. And I pray that the words of your mouth, the meditations of your heart would be acceptable in his sight, for he is your strength and your redeemer.